Hello, this is Todd, also and primarily known as middle name Andrew Farley, with Diana Pulliam, and we are gathering today on the Wednesday, the 25th of May, 2022. I'm going to begin with a brief prayer. I'm going to turn it over to Sister Diana, who will share the first phase of what we are going to discuss today, and then we'll wrap this up. Father God, we thank you and praise you for this day that you've made. With breath in our lungs, beat in our hearts, your grace and mercies new every day to guide us through each and every test or fiery trial and anything that the adversary would throw against us. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your living word. And we ask your Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide our lips, to have this be word and encouragement and discussion all from you and not of us. I plead the blood over the rest of the meeting, over each and every one who would tune in when this podcast is published or afterwards, to give them ears to hear and eyes to see. And as we are hoping, you will continuously do with us in this process to edify all of us, each and every one, to sharpen our sword, to increase our dependence, reliance upon you through the spirit of humility and love. And I pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Take it over, Diana.
Thank you, Andrew. And I have to say amen, a big amen to all of that. Yes, we're all bringing, God willing, pieces that we've been given to edify, to sharpen one another, continue to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, okay. All right. I'm just excited about some of the things that we are, God willing, going to be covering here in the upcoming episodes. But in the last podcast, now that was titled The Descending Storm, we shared some supernatural occurrences. I'll just call it that for now. We shared some occurrences that we and others are experiencing and have experienced, which point to a vast increase in the attacks of the enemy in this hour. But we also talked about the other side of the coin. Okay, so to speak, how God's showing his people that he's going to perform mighty acts in these days. And we talked about running the race. Okay, we talked about running that race. It's imperative we keep our eyes fixed upon him, you know, and that he's going to see his people through to the finish line. And we talked about the fact, I was told, Andrew got word too, that we are running the last leg of the race. Wow. But like I said, he's going to see his people through to the finish line in total victory. But we need to understand that it's not a passive role. You know, Jesus made it really, really clear that it's the overcomers who inherit the promises, right? But of course, we know the victory's already been achieved by Jesus. You know, it has been finished by Jesus. It's done. But it's our job to stand in that victory. And again, it's not a passive role. We'll talk about that in a minute. But as Andrew and I, we talked about this, you know, before we started here. You know, as we continue to seek the Lord on what he would have us share on this format, we keep getting that he wants to prepare his people for what's ahead. It's about the equipping of the saints. And the truth of the matter is, the days are ahead, they're not going to be easy. And we know that. If you're a reader of the Word of God, you know that the days ahead are not going to be easy. But the Bible describes, you know, those very tumultuous days ahead before the return of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to throw this out there. right now, because right now, as I'm talking about this, the Spirit's directing me at this very moment to say this. Many believers out there aren't paying much attention to their equipping because they don't believe they're going to be here when calamities begin. I mean, they think they're going to be whisked out of here before they get their hair messed up or chip a fingernail. And that's what the Lord told me. That's what the Lord told me. And I've been around those who believe that, as I'm sure you have. But I was devastated when he told me my church will rise from the ashes. You know, it turned my world upside down. And all I could say at the time was, Lord, I'm not ready. Oh, Lord God, help. I'm not ready. I was in agony for some time. But saints, that's what this time together is about. He wants to prepare and equip his church. So let's all submit to his will. And I'm raising my hand here. Allow him to finish the work he's begun in us. So before we get to what's coming up on the program, some of the things we discussed a little while ago, let me share a couple things the Lord's shown, you know, that I really think lay the foundation for the direction that we feel led to take, at least for the next few programs. Some of what I'll be referencing has been published on the website, you know, the mightyhandofgod.com, but I'm only going to share just a few excerpts here and there, and we'll start with a particular vision that the Lord's given me several times. He's given me several times in recent years and showing how at a particular time, very dark clouds would begin encircling the earth. And that's happening right now. All of us can attest to that, I'm sure. But let me explain how that vision began. I was shown the earth from what looked like the distance of an orbiting satellite. And little by little, dark clouds began to gather around the earth. And these grew. They grew in number and darkness. It just got darker and darker until the clouds completely surrounded the earth like a blanket. And then once the clouds completely encircled the planet, they began to descend down towards the earth. And as the darkness descended, I saw lights. Remember, I was seeing it from above, and it was as if like flashlights were coming on underneath that dark cloud. I saw lights begin to appear, you know, and sparkle here and there over the surface of the planet. And soon these lights were appearing all over the earth. And the lights became so bright, it was blinding, and they began to rise. The light began to rise from the surface of the earth. And the brightness of the lights increased until it appeared as one great light, rising up to meet the descending darkness. And then it was as if millions of light rays began piercing through, shooting through that blanket of darkness, until finally the light completely penetrated and rose high above the darkness. And at that moment, I heard the Lord say, the light will rise above the darkness. And it was a short time after I was shown the vision again. And as that light rose up above the darkness, the Lord said, rise and sit with me, my beloved. Now, like I said, he would show this to me every now and then. And every time I heard this, my heart just filled with excitement and anticipation at the thought of taking my seat in Christ at the right hand of the Father, because that's what he showed me he meant. Rise and sit with me, my beloved. Okay. And as Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, along with other verses, make very clear, Jesus has been given all power, all authority, and now sits at the right hand of the Father. You know, And he's far above every principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named. And the Father's made us alive with Christ and raised us up to set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's in Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 6. And Jesus said he's given his power and authority to the church. We know he said, I've given you authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall in any wise harm you. But the church has yet to take that seat in the heavenly realms. There remains yet a rest for the people of God. We know that that has not, the church, oh, let's just put it this way. The church as a whole is impotent, has been impotent for some time. So we have yet to take that seat in the heavenly realm. And we failed to exercise the very power and authority given her. And at one point, after hearing, hearing the Lord tell me to rise and sit with him, I began praying. I could see the failings. I could see, how pitiful I was. And so I was praying about all those trials, those spiritual battles that I and other brethren were experiencing, you listening, that you're experiencing, and speaking to those, I'm speaking to all of us right now. And I think we can all agree, right? The intensity of some of our trials has been at a level we've not experienced before. We can all agree on that. We're not walking fully in the power and authority given to us by Jesus. I can raise my hand here. So this was what I was inquiring of him about. Lord, I cried, I was just crying. And suddenly he said, all hell will come against you. And this was said with such urgency, it shook me to my core. Okay. That's what his answer to all the things that we were experiencing and all the things you're experiencing right now. He's just saying, all hell will come against you. I was then shown why the battles, some of the saints, what we're experiencing are of a totally different nature and intensity. And we've not seen anything yet, saints. We know, I think all of us, we know that. And so the Lord showed that just as the resurrection of Jesus was opposed by Satan and every principality, power, dominion of darkness, so will the rise of the bride of Christ be opposed. The opposition to the resurrection of Jesus was of such magnitude that it was only by the exceeding greatness of his power, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand. It was only by that mighty power that Jesus was not only raised from the dead, but he completely defeated and triumphed over all dominion, principalities, powers of that age and in the age to come. And this is in Ephesians 1 and 2, those chapters 1 and 2. But saints, that mighty power is toward us who believe. That same mighty power. Those who will rise up and sit with our beloved at the right hand of the Father. Romans 8, 11. Now, the Lord is warning in advance. He's warning each one of us. All hell will come against you as one rises to sit with him. Just as that resurrection of Jesus was opposed by all darkness, the satanic darkness of all time, so will the rise of the bride of Christ be opposed. And to sum up what's been shared here and I want to give a basic introduction to the next few broadcasts. Let me just say, yes, we can all see the clouds and storms, the devil's wickedness, right, encircling the earth, and at an appointed time, the warfare will begin to descend with increasing pressure and intensity. That's just right ahead of us. Those who begin to press into God, to seek him with all their being, to heed his call, to rise and set with me, my beloved, are being told in advance, all hell will come against you. So just, we just know that, okay? We should not think it strange, the fiery trial, which is going to try us. We've been told that. The good news is Jesus has already won the battle, okay? He's provided everything we need. We've been given his word. We've been given his armor in Ephesians 6. You know, the significance and how to use each piece, we hope to share. We're going to be sharing that in a later broadcast. Because the armor, it's not going to do you any good unless you use it. Unless you know how to use it. Unless you know the significance of each piece and how it should be used. What it will do, right? But 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul talks about not allowing Satan to take advantage of us. For we're not ignorant of his devices. Or at least we're not supposed to be. We're not supposed to be ignorant of his devices. Not only does the word talk about his devices, but there's much to gain from each other's experience. I mean, just, you know, even what Andrew and I were sharing before we got on this call. I mean, we and I had a call earlier with a sister. I mean, it's like, wow, you know, it just even rehearsing the word of God between each other and stuff. We're to gain from that, you know, and each other's experiences, learning what they went through, learning how the Lord was triumphant in their particular situation. And we're specifically told to expose the works of darkness in Ephesians 5:11. That's a biggie. We're told to expose the works of darkness. And that brings me to the next few broadcasts. I have a very good friend. She's a sister in Christ who's experienced the direct attack, a huge direct attack of the powers of darkness when she began to pull back from and reject a particular form in the New Age movement. A particular movement in the New Age movement. She was a Reiki master. Okay, probably several of you are familiar with that. Matter of fact, it's, you know, kind of big in some of the churches. But she was a Reiki master, and what she went through is hair raising, to say the least. Okay, we'll talk about her experiences as well as what she went through after getting out of it. Because, you know, when she escaped out of it, and you'll know what we mean. I mean, we're talking about shape shifting. We're talking about so many things that this woman went through. Getting out of it, the things that she experienced. And then, like I said, finding New Age practices in general in the churches that she attended afterwards. I mean, she was looking for a church to attend because of this, because she was not a follower of Jesus Christ when all this happened, when she was practicing that. She believed in God, but she didn't have a walk with him or anything like that. And so when she got out of this, she was desperately looking for truth. And then church after church she attended, she was not received. But anyway, God willing, we'll have her on like the next episode. I'm believing that is when we're going to have her on. And our brother Ozzy, he'll be joining us soon afterwards to share an in-depth look at what he calls hybrid techno-witchcraft. You know, pervasive. It's pervasive all around us now. And I know when he's talking to me, it's like I'm always going, wow. Wow, I hadn't thought of that. Wow. And how to take authority, how to take that authority given us by Jesus to overcome all the power of the enemy. because he's usurped it. You know, do you know that? I mean, we know this, but I'm just laying it out here. There is no power apart from God. Any power that the devil has, he's stolen it. He's usurped it, or we've given it to him by not using it. It's there. So we're not using it. He will, but that's fixing to change. Praise God. So like I said, we're going to talk about, he's got some practical experiences that he's lived through, that, and the Lord has taught him how to overcome so many situations here, and to take back that power of the enemy, render them helpless, so to speak. But the truth of the matter is, yes, the clouds, the storms of the enemy are descending, but his remnant, his people, his bride is being called to rise above them. And just recently, the Lord told me, he woke me up and something happened. And I'll go into it another time. I'm getting ready to release something written about that. But he told me, he said, you will command the storms. He's talking to us. He's talking to those that are willing to rise and set with him in Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father. He's telling you, he said, you will command the storms. So more on that at another time here. But I think I'm going to stop, because I know, Andrew, you've got, you know, a few comments, some things that you would like to share with us. Anything that you'd like to add? Go ahead, Andrew.
Okay, thank you. Wow, I'm glad I got to listen to that. Yes, we're in a war, you know, so the next several weeks at least, and really this whole podcast, so to speak, is about equipping, not just people that may tune or turn in, but ourselves. But I think we all are awake in this world that we're in these days to the fact that we're in a war. It's been going on longer than we can imagine. I'm just going to quote a couple of scriptures real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and verse 4. This is the ESV version. We share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. And Diana referenced Ephesians 5:11, but I had it on my radar too before we even spoke. And we're instructed to expose the darkness, because it reads in the New King James, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And really, a verse that I'm guessing many of us have had an encounter with, so to speak, that confirms everything Diana was sharing, especially early on with that vision and being up above the earth and the lights piercing the clouds and the blanket of clouds, the descending storm, the last leg of the race, everything we talked about. And this is a foundational verse for what God is getting ready to do for his children and those who are abiding in him. And it's Isaiah 60, verse 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Man, it's so awesome when the scriptures can speak for themselves. The King James Version of Isaiah 60, I think, even says or refers to gross darkness. And sadly, some of our siblings, and even some of us, and myself included, in the past, hopefully not currently, have been deceived, duped, ensnared, tripped up, or trapped by some of the enemy agents or the enemy's schemes and wiles. And we were talking before this, and even here very recently, several of us, including Diana, myself, a sister of ours on the other side of the planet named Allie, shared something, have been seeing Christians, so-called believers, contending and dividing each other because they are convinced of things that came in with a little bit of leaven and the spirit of error. So my heart, I guess, and I'm not going to go on and on, but ultimately we're looking at this next phase of broadcasting and sharing and publishing for, number one, always the glory of the Lord through these guests, these incredible, amazing, unbelievable, in some cases, testimonies. But it's all for the equipping of our warfare. Every test or trial that each and every one of us goes through is for equipping. And we either pass the test and we learn what he wants us to learn, or oftentimes we'll go through some of those tests over and over until we do. So it's about rising up. And, you know, example, though, of what I'm speaking about with Allie, our friend or sister, she mentioned a group on Facebook. And I don't know the name of the group, and I wouldn't name it if I did, maybe in private conversations, but not publicly per se. But she was a part of this thing, and she noticed more and more things that were concerning her because they didn't line up in the spirit and ultimately with the word. And she, I'm sure in her case, in love, expressed that in a couple of cases and said, hey, you know, guys, I would just say here, I believe you're incorrect because God's word says this and this. And next thing you know, she's telling us that she was booted off and blocked from this group. And this group, this Christian label message group, had 65,000 people as part of it. And basically, they kicked her out because she was questioning them because they were coming against the topic of deliverance or the children's bread and other things. And so these are some of the threats that are infiltrating and encroaching upon Christianity, with which our brother Ozzy spoke about before, and with the techno sorcery and some of the enemy's tools, can talk about again. I told Diana when we were speaking earlier one thing I hadn't shared with her before, and I don't get many dreams or visions. I believe that's going to increase, but the ones I have gotten have been brief but powerful. And one of them I told her about, and years ago, 7 years ago, maybe. Real brief. I'm basically suddenly in high definition. It seems so beautiful and so real, like cruising or soaring over a deep blue ocean, really dark but beautiful blue waters. And I'm like, wow. And if it really felt like I was there. Next thing you know, though, up ahead, I see something, and it's basically a lush island. And as I approach and get closer to it, suddenly I pause over that island, and it's just stunning. You know, if you're going to ever be stranded on an island somewhere, that would be the one I would pick if I could find it. But the next thing you know, I see a little speck, a tiny little speck under the surface of the blue deep. And this thing, in 20, 30 seconds time in the dream, starts getting bigger, bigger, bigger. Next thing you know, I'm like, what on earth is this? Comes up to the surface, and a bluish gray, but mainly purple casted octopus comes out of the water, takes its tentacles on the edge of this island, and very, very quickly climbed up, sat on it, and spread all 8 tentacles around with a super tight grip. Now, I only share that today because there could be various interpretations. I prayed about it. I think in my case, there was a personal thing plus a big picture thing that I was meant to speak about right at this moment as I share this today. That island is our world. That octopus is the enemy and his weapons. We could have a whole day of discussion on what are the eight tentacles possibly, identifying our foes in the spiritual realm. We know the word talks in Ephesians 6 and about our warfare and the weapons of our warfare, wrestling not against flesh and the blood, principalities and powers and hosts of wickedness in high places. I'm paraphrasing. I know I didn't get that perfect. But the point is, we're at this point, I believe, from that vision 7 years ago, because even yesterday I had another example, and I'm not going to name any names, similar to Allie's story and what some of us have seen. And it's a sister in Christ. I know she's a believer. I've spoken on the phone with her years ago. I've prayed with her and for her adult children. And just like all my true siblings, and I have love in my heart for her from the kingdom standpoint. But I stumbled into something. I hadn't seen anything for a long time. I jumped on Facebook for a second and was going to do two things and jump off. All of a sudden, though, this is right in front of me, and I pop it open. And in essence, it was an entire teaching and preaching, so to speak, against the concept of the bride of Christ. And so that octopus has affected this dear sister, in my humble opinion. I'm not going to hate her. I'm praying for her. But one of the many enemy agents that we're trying to combat and share with through some of the things we've been through is the spirit of error. And how, when it infiltrates God's people, the next thing you know, it leads to one of the six things he hates. Yea, seven are abomination, as referenced in Proverbs 6:16-19. And the last part of that, I think it's the one he thinks of as abomination, is those who cause contention against the brethren or within the brethren. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can lead us to all truth. If we're battling any pride or sense of arriving or having deep knowledge, as some of these people are very diligent at exposing the darkness, but if we focus too much on that side, we can be overtaken before we know it with a spirit that will hide itself very, very well. So I didn't really plan on saying all of that, but I think that's my heart in joining Diana with where we're at now, where the Spirit of the Lord has led us, and especially on this introduction and update of where are we going from here. One thing, you know, we've compared a lot of notes, done a lot of praying. We're going to see how it unfolds. She just shared what the next couple episodes at least will probably be like, and most likely with who, but we've got a plethora of topics and things that he'll lead us, I believe, appropriately and in its time to discuss and share, you know, beyond just the basics and the foundations that unfortunately many believers still don't have, of the armor, the power of the blood, the weapons of our warfare. Well, if they're not carnal, what are they? What about advanced weaponry in the Bible? I'm talking biblical advanced weaponry. Yes, tackling witchcraft and the infiltration and encroachment, discerning of spirits, plus testing the spirits when we hear from the Lord. And unfortunately, this dear sister yesterday, in a comment I made to try to be encouraging, a little bit of a spirit came back attacking me. And we cannot shoot at each other in this war, or you're going to go down. But other topics we're going to discuss. And one thing I think Diana agreed with me on, just to give everybody a heads up, and I believe we'll probably start to do this pretty soon, is we will continue to try our best to do one episode a week. We're a couple days further along this time or today than we have been. But for the most part, that's what we'll do. But I hope to, and we hope to, release additional broadcasts that will be briefer than some of our shows and longer ones with guests, probably anywhere from as brief as 10 minutes or less up to maybe 20 or 25 minutes, where we're going to share testimonies and biblical things that go with them along the lines of basically spiritual warfare bits and bytes or nuggets. So if you see notifications for those kind of things in the future, we'll try to title or label it the appropriate way that you'll remember, oh, this may be one of those warfare things that Andrew talked about, one of the shorter ones. We're going to do our best to be prayerful and careful about what, when, and where, but we're relying on the Spirit of the Lord and the power of His Word to use those things to equip and encourage. Finally, I think I have mentioned this with friends in the past, but the Spirit of the Lord placed it on my heart before we go. I think more and more, fortunately, are waking up to the times that we're in, even though churchianity is still not talking about the end times, still mostly not talking about the blood or the power of it or repentance. Still not talking about eschatology, but they're talking about things that tickle the ears, that tell people that we have a lot longer time to go. Most of us, and Diana and myself, and we've shared as much as we can, we're here to give witness that the time is short. And so what the Spirit of the Living God wants us to do, besides fellowshipping with one another as we can face to face, where two or more gather in electronic ecclesia or gatherings like we have with the pod and the prayer group, or face-to-face in a small remnant church. And I'm here to tell you there are a couple of them still out there. Don't, you know, yes, come out of her, my people, be ye separate. God is bringing many out of churchianity. That's what this is all about, delivering us and from error, deception, and anywhere he doesn't want us to be. But what he wants to shift us into in the midst of all of this is a lens of excitement, a lens of expectancy. And we have nothing to fear if we have the fear of the Lord. And yes, like most people say, and I do as well, fear of the Lord, reverential awe and love for not only Jesus, but our Abba, our Father in heaven. Absolutely. But it's also a good idea to value your salvation with fear and trembling. And there are biblical references of that kind of fear and very real fear of God that are in the Word. That's what he is doing, though, shifting us into the lens of excitement and casting out and casting down fear, because God does have an army too. And anyway, Diana, maybe you want to say a quick prayer before we go, and then I'm done. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Praise God. Andrew, that was very excellent points, very comprehensive. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for this time together, Lord. We praise your holy name. We ask that you lead and guide all of your people around the earth. May we join together as one, come before you in one accord, Lord. And we just ask your Holy Spirit to minister everything that is heard here, that those that you bring together, that the Holy Spirit will minister this word, the words that we're hearing, to show how it may apply to each and every one of us. Lord, as we humbly come before your throne. And we thank you, we praise you, and ask your leading and guiding in every step that we take. We do not want to go out one step ahead of you or lag one step behind you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. All right. Praise God. And we love you all, and look forward to next time.
Amen.